Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show is your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. And on the program today, we are going to be talking with, coming up, a fellow who's sometimes known as a gypsy guitarist, Stefan Rembel. He was born in France and lives now in Brooklyn, I think. He's going to be playing with his band at the Canopy Club in Urbana on the University of Illinois campus tomorrow evening, starting at 7 o'clock. And our other performance we're covering is by the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, which is playing twice this weekend, including tonight at 8 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, and then tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the University of Illinois at Springfield's Sangamon Auditorium. The concert includes music by Arvo Pärt, his Cantus in Memory of Benjamin Britten, Tchaikovsky's famous Fifth Symphony, and also, and this is the subject of our conversation today, cellist Joshua Roman, who is all of 28 years old, playing Dmitri Shostakovich's first cello concerto. Alistair Willis will be leading the proceedings, and I'll be talking with Joshua Roman very shortly, as soon as we get over a technical difficulty which we are having at the moment that is preventing me from bringing you that interview. And at the moment, I don't have an alternative. And I think we might have just solved that problem. So, we're going to begin with some music featuring Joshua Roman and also pianist Ari Hayashi. This is music by Frédéric Chopin. Music by Frédéric Chopin, his Polonaise Brillante, with cellist Joshua Roman and pianist Ari Hayashi. Joshua Roman will be playing with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra twice this weekend, including tonight at 8 o'clock in Bloomington and tomorrow at 8 o'clock in Springfield, a program that also includes music by Arvo Pärt and Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony. He'll be playing the first cello concerto by Dmitri Shostakovich. It's kind of interesting that the Illinois Symphony bills Joshua Roman as a classical rock star. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but we'll perhaps let him speak for himself. He's with us on the phone right now. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. No, it's nice to be here.
I'm sure you've seen that term before. Did they make that up?
Yes, actually, it was somewhere, I believe it was my debut recital in Seattle, and the Seattle Times reporter is the one who came up with that, and it very quickly spread, and I couldn't do anything to contain it, so I decided I would just embrace it.
You might as well. What do you think they meant, and since you have embraced it, what does it mean to you?
Well, originally, I think that what she was really intending the remark to mean was more a reflection of the audience that I attracted and the energy that was sort of at the forefront of my time in Seattle. I really felt a very strong support from the community, and I was the youngest person in the orchestra, and I felt very honored by that, and the city was very excited. I got all sorts of press coverage just for being there. And when I had my debut recital, the demographics that showed up were pretty exciting and a large spread. And it was at a place in Seattle that holds around 800 people, and it was actually completely sold out and people were turned away. So I think there was a lot of excitement around that, and I just sort of walked out and played some great pieces by Kodály and Ligeti and Bach, and I think she was just really sort of trying to come up with a phrase that captured the energy of all of that happening.
And so, what about for you now?
Well, for me, it's kind of to answer that question, I go back to being a kid and growing up in Oklahoma, not really having access to the kind of classical music experience that you might in New York City or somewhere else. And I was very passionate about classical music and the cello, but my idea of what a career would be was, I would say, probably more heavily influenced by ideas of what bands did and rock music. So I don't know, for me, embracing that means just looking past the barriers that we've set up that may be artificial in terms of who can find a connection with classical music and even sometimes what classical music is, and really trying to just make the energy of communication the center of what I do and see where that exploration takes me.
Well, and part of that exploration does sometimes include, at least as I understand it, that you might play almost anywhere from a club to, you know, of course, a big concert hall, and you might play almost anything from the sort of standard classical music we just opened with by Chopin to some, get involved with some jazz and maybe some rock music on your recitals.
Yeah, I mean, I have a, again, going back to when I was a kid, I listened to everything, and I actually played guitar, and in high school I was in bands as first as an electric bassist and then electric guitar and even lead vocals. So I have all of that in my blood. My parents have it. I got it from my parents as well. And it's hard to completely shut that out. I mean, I definitely feel like Bach and classical music are my strongest. That's where my strongest connection lies. But it's almost, to me, I like to think of food. You know, I can't, I wouldn't stop eating vegetables just because I love meat. So you got a well-rounded meal, and I have hopefully a well-rounded musical experience that includes different kinds of music and also different venues that really allow me to be hopefully even more expressive.
So if you do music that either is actual rock music or rock inspired, what might be some examples be? And do you ever go back to your earlier roots and put down the cello and pick something else up again?
Well, I have occasionally. I do less of that now. I'm definitely more focused on the cello now and even on writing some music, which I would say I'm trying to sort out my influences there. But in terms of some of the things that I've done, one of my favorites is I actually made an arrangement. I sat down and used iTunes and listened over and over again for hours, just hitting the space bar for pause to Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. And it took me, I don't remember, something like 30 hours to create an arrangement that was as true to the original as I could make it for four cellos. And that has been very successful. It's really fun. I love Led Zeppelin. I love Queen. The Beatles have done a few of their things. In more recent times, I would say I have a friend, Paul Miller, who goes by the moniker DJ Spooky as well, and we've done a few collaborations, including a cover of a Radiohead song, which you can check out online, and also some improv of all different sorts at clubs and parties in New York City. So it's a wide range.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And speaking of wide ranges, I want to let you talk a little bit about something else you're involved with as a, I guess, sort of curator and programmer of the series called Town Music, which is in Seattle, of which you're the artistic director and have been since when?
I started doing that. So Town Hall was actually the place that I gave that debut recital in Seattle when I was there as principal cellist. And that was kind of when the relationship started. I believe that was early 2007. And if I remember correctly, we started in the fall of 2007 because I felt such a connection with the executive director there and also with the space that had allowed me to give that debut. We had a really strong bond, and it's still like that today. So I started programming almost immediately. I believe it was the fall of 2007.
So was that a series that inaugurated with you or was going on already?
They had just started it and were really looking to revamp. The guy who did it before me, I think he had a lot on his plate, and I really admired what he did, and I think he was looking to pass it on, and that was actually, I believe, at his suggestion that that I gave my debut recital there anyway. So there was this really sort of passing of the torch, and that was when the series, I think, really sort of came into its own, and it was very exciting.
So you were all of like 23 or something when you took over that series.
Something, yeah. And it's been a really incredible learning experience because at the beginning, they've always been very consistently geared towards letting me make an artistic statement and trying to have as little restriction as possible. So it's been a very freeing experience. But at the beginning, I didn't have any experience doing that, so I wasn't really sure. And I was sort of making my way through the seasons, putting things together. There was a lot of ad hoc ensemble, and I still try to do that sometimes because I think it's a very special kind of energy between the performers when they come together just for that concert. But as I've gotten used to doing this, I've started thinking in, I think, a broader scope about what the season says and what the music I choose says and the opportunities that I'm able to give other emerging artists who might not have yet a big following in Seattle. So it's been really exciting.
I noticed that one of the performers that's been there, looks like maybe a couple times anyway, is a group called the Jack Quartet.
That's right.
And actually, the C of Jack is from our community here, actually. I used to play in my youth orchestra for a long time.
Really?
Chris Otto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. No, I love Jack. We had them, I believe it was the beginning of last season or the season before, and they're coming at the end of this season as well. In June, we'll be playing a brand new quintet that Jefferson Friedman, the Grammy Award-winning composer, is writing us. It's very exciting. So they're a great group. I have tremendous respect for them and was so excited to introduce them to Seattle.
That's great. In fact, they were on this radio show one time playing playing with springs, you know, as bows. These big springs,
wow,
that they bowed with. And I'm thinking, how is it you're not sawing your strings in half?
But I know.
These are the things they do. Well, some of the other things that you've done in this series is involve an actor in collaboration with cello and some other non-musical collaborations.
There's been a little of that. Most of that has happened off of this series, but I definitely have a strong desire to not only perform absolute music, but to find ways of connecting music to other art forms. And I think it's one of the very good ways that we can learn how to articulate what it is we do and its relevance today. And so I've been lucky enough to work with some very talented people. Anna Deavere Smith is an actress that I worked with last year, and she's just incredible, and we're actually doing a residency at Georgetown University next month together. But it's a very interesting process to look at music from another angle.
Well, let's see if we can relate this to what you're going to be doing in our area this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Joshua Roman, who's going to be the cello soloist with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Alistair Willis this weekend, tonight at 8 o'clock in Bloomington at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, and then tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the University of Illinois at Springfield, the Sangamon Auditorium there. And he'll be playing the first cello concerto of Dmitri Shostakovich. How does that piece fit into this whole picture that we've been painting of your approach to music?
Well, for me, Shostakovich is one of the composers in the 20th century who really best exemplifies that connection, that direct connection between historical personal events and the sort of expression that music can give to things that you can't, or maybe in his case, are not allowed to say. So the Shostakovich is a very powerful statement, and whether it's strictly political, or I would say definitely there's a very strong personal presence of Shostakovich as well, it's just a very engaging piece on that level because it has it's the sort of thing that everyone can relate to on some level. Not everyone's been in a Soviet regime, but everyone has suffered, and you can feel the compassion. I mean, in this piece, Shostakovich is suffering with the people that he writes for, and with the Russian people. There's a great deal of that in this piece, and I think also the relationship to the cellist Mstislav Rostropovich plays a very important role in the creation of this piece. It was written for Rostropovich, and you can definitely hear some of his personality in there as well. And they worked very closely, making sure that it was cellistic and all of that. So it's a very rewarding piece to play, and I think it's a very profound statement, and in some ways a warning that is simply based in sound and human emotion. So it's a wonderful example of what music can be.
Well, we probably have Rostropovich's recording here. The one I happen to pull out is features cellist Heinrich Schiff with the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra, and the main reason I picked it is it happens to be conducted by Dmitri Shostakovich's son, Maxim. Here's some of the opening of Shostakovich's first cello concerto here on Live and Local. That's the opening music from the first movement of the Cello Concerto No. 1 by Dmitri Shostakovich, with cellist Heinrich Schiff and Maxim Shostakovich conducting the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra. The piece will be played, of course, in its entirety by cellist Joshua Roman with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra in Bloomington and Springfield tonight and tomorrow, and music director Alistair Willis will conduct that concert. My guest this portion of Live and Local is Joshua Roman. You got that job as principal cellist of the Seattle Symphony when you were 22 in 2006, and you kept it for all of two seasons. What made you decide, enough of that, I want to do this other business?
Well, Kevin, it was kind of one of those things. I get asked that question, I mean, not just in interviews, but all of my friends, and especially at the time, I think my family, like, what are you thinking?
I can imagine that would be a common question.
Yeah, but it's, for me, the thing is, it's personally, it's the opposite question. How long was I going to stay there? Because it was kind of a sidestep on my path, and it ended up being, I think, one of the most important ones I've ever had, and it's funny how things often end up that way in life and in musical careers. But I always had the dream from a very young age, around six, that I would follow in the footsteps of Yo-Yo Ma and Rostropovich and Janos Starker and live the life of a concert cellist. And not really knowing how to do that and not having gone through the traditional networks that could really help me achieve that, I was at a loss. And the symphony audition was something that I was, you know, I came to that and I did that very willingly, and when I won, I was just very excited. But from the very moment that I began, I think everyone knew that the time there was going to be limited. And I originally thought, you know, 5 years will be good. And really, I was just lucky that I got noticed and that I got concerts outside of Seattle, and that things worked out. And it became a decision of when is it going to be my last chance to really go for it and do what I want to do? And that happened to be about 2 years. And I said, this is when I have to go for it. And I was actually very sad in the end to leave my very good colleagues at the orchestra. And it was such an incredible learning experience also, in terms of just going through that amount of repertoire. You learn so much about the composers when you play their symphonies every week. I wouldn't trade it for anything now. But I was always going to leave. It was just a matter of time, and it worked out very well.
Do you ever imagine yourself some many years down the road going back to playing in an orchestra instead of in front of one?
No, that's not something that I've ever really thought about. And I think, personality-wise, I've always wondered. There's this thing that I just love the melody, really. And when you're a cellist in an orchestra, you don't get the melody very often at all. And I often wonder if this is because I have a violinist playing mother and two violinist brothers and a violinist sister. And for the first 10 years of my studying the cello, I studied with a violinist. So I don't know if I'm reading too much into that, but I love the melody. I just can't. I couldn't play the. I couldn't not do that all of the time.
So you're either a violinist or a soprano at heart.
Right. Or maybe even a flute.
or a singer for that matter.
Yeah.
Joshua Roman is my guest here on Live and Local, and he'll be with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra tonight, Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, tomorrow night, University of Illinois Springfield. You can get more information on the symphony by going to ilsymphony.org. The concert will include also the Concerts in Memory of Benjamin Britten, beautiful piece by Alvar Pärt, and Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, another beautiful piece of a very different sort, and then Joshua Roman playing the first cello concerto of Shostakovich. Before I let you go, I'm curious about one thing, just because I'm a tennis fan and a little bit of a tennis player.
Oh, yeah.
I see you played at the U.S. Open one time.
But on the cello, not as a tennis player.
Well, I figured that, yeah. Where do you play at the U.S. Open?
So it's actually a pretty cool setup. It's not on the main court. I think it's the Arthur Ashe. So it's not on the main court. It's actually in the food court area, and if you've ever been to that complex, it's a giant complex with all sorts of courts all over the place and people milling about between various games that are going on at the same time. I had never realized the scale until I was actually there. But they have, you know, outdoors right by the food court, they set up these giant speakers, and so I actually took my put together a cello quartet for that, because I didn't necessarily think that solo cello would be appropriate. So I brought a cello quartet and we did a mix of classical and rock stuff, and it was a real blast. We had a lot of fun, and then we got to see some games also. It was great.
So did you get into that because you were a tennis fan, or somebody just asked you?
No, but I brought my wife along because she's a huge tennis fan, and she couldn't have been happier that I got that gig.
And what year was that?
I think it's 2011.
So you probably know who won that year then.
Well, we got to see the women's finals, and it was one of the two sisters. I'm so bad with tennis. I think it might have been Vanessa.
Venus Williams?
She
wouldn't have had that. That would, because she hasn't won that in years.
No, she didn't win. What she did was she got in big trouble for cursing out the referee.
That was Serena.
Oh, Serena. Okay, yeah. So that was we saw that game, and a men's semifinal as well with a name I cannot pronounce.
That's okay. There's a lot of those
in
tennis. Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you. We're going to go out listening to Joshua Roman with pianist Ari Hayashi playing some music from Robert Schumann's Adagio and Allegro. And here's the Allegro portion. The Allegro portion of the Adagio and Allegro by Robert Schumann for this version for cello and piano. There's versions for other combinations of instruments as well. Joshua Roman, the pianist, with Ari Hayashi. I'm sorry, Joshua Roman, the cellist, with Ari Hayashi, the pianist. And Joshua Roman will be playing with the Illinois Symphony tonight in Bloomington and tomorrow in Springfield. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned next for a conversation with jazz guitarist Stefan Rembel, who will be playing in Urbana tomorrow night. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309.
Welcome to Day 3 of our Clear the Air fundraising drive. We are asking for your support in helping us reach $40,000 in 4 days. If you like the idea of zero extended pledge breaks, but still believe in the importance of your local public radio station, consider making a donation today. Call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org right now. Again, that's 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
And here's a bit of an update on how we're doing on the Clear the Air campaign. So far, we've raised over $27,900 from 144 pledges. We certainly want to say thanks to everybody who's contributed so far during the drive, including Diane from Champaign, Larry from Decatur, Paul from Normal, Eileen from Urbana, Betty from Charleston, and Stan and Mary from Leroy, and Christine from Marion. Those are just some of the communities represented. And so far, you've helped us feed 808 people, courtesy of the partnership with the Central Illinois Food Bank. Again, our phone number is 217-244-9455, or you can visit willpledge.org to get involved. We have only one day left to make it to $40,000. There was a tune called Prometheus by Stefan Remmel. By Stefan Remmel. It's on his Origins CD, which is the latest of his five recordings, this out last May. And he's going to be performing at the Canopy Club in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And he's with us now, actually, as he's on the road at the moment. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Hi.
Because I imagine that certainly some of our listeners know who you are and some probably don't, particularly since our largest audience is classical music listeners. Just give us a little bit of background. You know, I've read that you, for example, trained among gypsies, which certainly sounds good, but what does that mean, for example?
Okay, so the first thing is the music we perform is not locked into one genre or another. The purpose of this music is not to, like, fit into a genre. It's not to represent a genre. The way we play is more, like, based on an impressionist state of mind, not the impressionist genre, like Debussy and stuff. Really the impressionist state of mind, which means, like, when I compose with images in head, and the show is really, like, going on a journey through the different images and different images or feeling or situations require different styles, different techniques, whatever is there to, like, express that one angle. So I wouldn't talk really about genre, but more about the cinematographic view of the show, you know. And also, like, just to, if you want to speak specifically about my training with the gypsies, learning their craft with them allowed me to learn a very powerful craft on the guitar. It's like really, and we're talking about the gypsies, like the Sinti, which is a specific group of gypsies.
Sinti?
The Sinti, like the Django Reinhardt style. There are four different people of gypsies in Europe, so this is only one of them. So the Sintis, they have, like, a very, very specific craft, like, used by Django Reinhardt, and this is an extremely powerful technique in my arsenal. And I see it really like that, like a technique. I'm not using it to express a gypsy feel. I'm not using it to express... I'm not a gypsy, and so I cannot express that lifestyle, you know what I mean? Although I'm, like, very nomadic, you know, but it's a different thing. So, but it's only one weapon into our arsenal of, like, everything, like, from classical to rock to jazz to North African to Indian. We have, like, a lot of things covered, a lot of different atmospheres and stuff. But once again, what really matters is the journey through, like, each song.
You commented at some point about this particular album that you're, quote, digging deeper and deeper into my roots. And what are those roots besides that experience learning that particular style with the Sinti people?
Well, the roots, they're like we get reborn many times in a lifetime. Like, hopefully, because this is the richness of life, you know. So I started as a kid when I was four years old. I started like playing classical on the piano. I was trained with actually an impressionist teacher, an old lady. She really knew like Gabriel Fauré and all these guys like personally. So I had that very specific angle of the classical music on the piano. And then when I was about 15, I picked up the guitar and I played like all the 70s rock stuff. And then I wanted to grow. I wanted to learn other things, you know. So the 70s rock stuff is really what I listened to when I was a kid, and the classical piano is when I practiced. So these are two different routes already. But then I wanted to continue my exploration, so I stayed with the Gypsies for like 5 or 6 years. I studied with them directly in the camps for like 6 years, I think. So that became like another like integrated style. And then I went to Berkeley to study American jazz for a few years. And while I was there, I also studied like West African music with a good friend of mine who's from there. I studied Greek music with the Greek. I studied Indian music, like South Indian rhythmic system and stuff. And I integrated all these things. And then I went to New York, and New York is the place that allowed me to put all that together, you know. New York became a new route. You know how you're in New York and you have a brownstone next to a glass building, next to a Victorian church, you know, like, and it works, you know, because it's what it is. And it's a little bit like what my music became, like I was born again in New York like that, with like all these styles coming together. And then my travels all over the United States and the discovery of like the blues and the bluegrass and the country on a real depth, you know, by traveling in the country and really meeting with the people, allowed me to also like include that in my craft and make it also another new route. So all these styles are like roots, you know what I mean?
Well, let's hear another tune from the Origins CD. We're talking with Stefan Remble, who is going to be performing at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night. This is a tune I know you said is one of your favorites off of this album called Voyager. What are people likely to hear of these various being born again moments? What are they likely to hear synthesized in this tune?
Well, you can take a single song, and of course, like Voyager, you can tell there are influences of rock and Django and classical, 80s music. You can find influences of everything, but once again, Voyager is really about Carl Sagan, and it's about the Voyager spacecraft traveling through the universe. So when I wrote this song, I was more concerned about scoring that spacecraft, like, in the darkness of the universe, traveling forever between the stars and stuff, rather than just like isolating a style, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, that's great info right there. Let's give it a listen. It's called Voyager, Stefan Remble, and the combo here on Live and Local. Voyager is the name of the tune. Stefan Remble performing on guitar and also a composer. Who's with you, by the way? Who's your combo in this album?
The team is like two guitars, bass, drums, and percussion. And we actually now tour only as a four-piece band, like two guitars, bass, and drums.
And have you used some of the same musicians for an extended period of time, or do you mix them up both on tour and on your recordings?
The recording, we had a different guitar player. It was actually the last project we did together. And I got a new guy since then, Roy Williams, who's like really an amazing player. So, but it's always the same team now. It's been a year and a half that it's like a very steady team. So we play five nights a week, so it's very tight.
And how did you, I mean, given what you've been saying about absorbing different types of music, how did you identify the people you wanted to work with?
It's a very organic process, you know. The way I like to do band leading like that is to offer a structure, which are my compositions, you know, with the image. But I pick the musician who can really play the composition, you know, because some of them are a little bit hard, but can also expand himself in it, you know what I mean? I want the maximum freedom for my musicians to express themselves. They have a lot of room for themselves. But it has to be natural. You cannot force it, in my opinion, you know. For what we do, they have to be happy. They have to be nice guys. They have to, like, they have to be a part of it creatively. So they have to have the maximum room within that structure. And I guess it took me so long to find the right musicians because it has to happen, like, in a very organic way. I don't know. It's just the right people come in kind of by fortune, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, and it does sound, I mean, since you're talking about having everybody has a certain amount of freedom in the music, your tunes provide the structure, but there clearly is plenty of opportunity for improvisation on everybody's part, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. A lot of improvisation, a lot of freedom, too. Like, they really have, they really can express themselves. Like, we have, like, completely different people. We listen to different, on an everyday basis, we listen to, like, different music and stuff. And so, but for some reason, it just works, you know. Like I said, it's a little bit like New York City. You have a church and a glass building and a brownstone and so and a house and then another glass building, and it just all works for some reason, you know what I mean? Because it's just done naturally.
I'm talking with Stefan Remmel, who's going to be performing at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night for a 7 o'clock show. That's one of their earlier shows. Here's another tune from Origins, which came out last year. The title, Tsunami, since the Voyager tune had a particular story behind it, is it safe to assume that this one had an influence by one of the tragedies, one of the tragic tsunamis we've had in late recent years?
Yeah, actually, it comes from two different stories. The first half, I tried to capture the vibe of an imaginary Japan, because I've never been there, so I go there in dreams, you know. I imagine Japan to be a certain way, and I'm very influenced by, like, the Miyazaki movies and stuff, like Kurosawa. I really love, like, Japanese art and cinema and culture and stuff, so I imagine a certain vibe. And then on the second half, it's like the tsunami that devastated the north of Japan last year, like, actually in 2011 now, it's gonna be 2 years. And I thought these images were, like, very powerful and dramatic. And so this song is structured around these two elements, the imaginary Japan vibe and the tsunami.
Let's give a listen. Music by Stefan Remmel from Origins here on Live and Local. That's a tune called Tsunami by Stefan Remmel, who's been my guest this portion of Live and Local on FM 90.9. He's going to be playing at the Canopy Club on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana tomorrow for a show starting at 7 o'clock. You can certainly check out their website for their complete schedule, and Stefan Remmel's website is stefanremmel.com. Of course, you probably need to know how to spell all that. It's S-T-E. Stephanewremmel. That's hard to Google if you don't know how to spell it. Stephanewremmel. And there's actually more to that interview, which was conducted earlier this afternoon. We'll try to put that up on our website, which reminds me to say that we do archive these shows on our website. They're not always up the same day, but we try to get them up within a couple of days. And you can re-listen or listen if you missed part of it. And in case you didn't know, we are streaming our programs here on FM 90.9 now as of last Thursday. So if you don't find yourself near a radio, you can listen on the computer to all of our programs on FM 90.9.
Hello, I'm Kimberly Cronick, Director of Community Content and Engagement at Illinois Public Media. During our Clear the Air pledge drive, I encourage you to support WILL and help keep strong local content on the air. Thanks to your past support, we're able to bring you great shows like Focus, Afternoon Magazine, Live and Local, and our award-winning local news. We absolutely could not provide this content without your help. So, if you like the idea of a public radio station seeking out issues important to local communities, and if you like the idea of a radio station working to strengthen the value we bring to you, please consider a donation now. And during this special drive, our staff will keep providing you with strong local programming so you don't have to worry about our typical pledge interruptions.
To lend your support to our Clear the Air campaign, call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org right now. Again, that's 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
And just to give you a little bit more of an update, we are now over $29,000 towards our goal of $40,000, certainly hoping to get to $30,000 by the end of today. And we have been able to help feed 816 people, courtesy of our partnership with Central Illinois Food Bank. The number again, 217-244-9455, or you can visit willpledge.org. And many thanks to all who have made their contributions during the campaign so far. Here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area through this weekend. There's a lot going on, and we'll see what we're able to get in here. A show called Drinking Habits is being put on by Tri-County Players Theater Company in Paxton at the Market Street Theater. Show tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Singer-songwriter Emily Otness will be at Indigo Artist Co-op in downtown Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock. Starting up in just a few minutes at the Iron Post in Urbana, the monthly gig by the Boneyard Jazz Quintet, that's at 5 o'clock. Then Kilbourne Alley Blues Band will be at the Iron Post tonight at 9 o'clock. Heartland Theater Company in Normal is presenting the play Time Stands Still tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And Parkland College Theater is presenting You Can't Take It With You. Parkland College is in Champaign. Show tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday at 7:30. Jazz pianist Don Heitler teams up with Olivia Flanagan at Silver Creek Restaurant in Urbana. That's this evening at 5:30. Also in Urbana at Bouvon's, the Clark Gibson Quintet play jazz at 6:30. Illinois State University Honors Band Festival presents its closing concert at the Center for the Performing Arts on the ISU campus in Normal. That's 7 o'clock. And actually, there's another concert tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Springfield Theater Center is presenting You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tonight at 8 o'clock, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And Illinois State University Theater is presenting the musical Oklahoma. That also is at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. It's the third annual Indoor Bluegrass Festival at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. It all starts at around, I think, doors open at 4:30 tomorrow, and the show itself, I think, starts at 6:30. I've seen different times for that, so get there by 4:30 and you'll catch all the music. Kevin Hart and the Vibe Tribe will be at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. Pokey Lafarge and the South City Three are at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The China National Symphony Orchestra is the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana tomorrow night at 7:30. The Sound of Illinois Barbershop Chorus presents its annual show. They're calling Barber Tunes at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow for two shows at 2 o'clock and at 7 o'clock. And the Cantus Vocal Ensemble are at Rammelkamp Chapel on the campus of Illinois College in Jacksonville. That's tomorrow night at 7:30. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 32 degrees at just about 5 o'clock. Stay tuned next for All Things Considered from NPR.